Okay, thank you for the organizer for giving this chance to give this talk. So very first thing, and it's very important, is that this is a joint work with my thesis advisor, Boris Kisin. The reason this is important, because for last time when I was giving a talk, I forget to put his name on, and he was in, is one of the audience. So that's a bad thing. So what I'm going to talk about is non-holonomic Moser lemma. So before talking about Moser lemma, let me recall some definition on sub-Riemannian manifold. So suppose I have manifold M. So this is a manifold, and tau is a distribution, meaning that it's a vector subbundle of the tangent bundle of M. And I assume tau to be bracket generating. Meaning that every tangent vector in the tangent bundle can be gotten by bracketing vector fields of this distribution. So let me do an example instead of giving many definitions. So for instance, M equals to R3, and this is a Heisenberg group. So in this case, tau is span of ddx plus y ddz, y ddy plus, I'm sorry, ddx minus 1/2 y ddz and ddy minus 1/2 x ddz. And one can compute the bracket, so let's call this x and call this y. And one can compute the bracket, the Lie bracket of these two vector field on R3, and you get ddz. And so at each point, all these three vectors will span the tangent space of R3. So this is an example of bracket generating. And in general, you need more of these brackets. So one of the main theorem of these bracket generating distribution is the Charles theorem, which says that if we have this bracket generating property, then we can join any two points in the manifold using a curve which is tangent to this distribution. So I'll call those curves which tangent to this distribution the horizontal curve. So any two points can be joined by horizontal curve. And so after that I can of course put a metric or a fiber inner product on this distribution. So this is the fiber inner product. On tau. And of course this allows me to compute the length of horizontal curves. So that gives me a notion of length. And by Charles theorem, any point can be joined up by a horizontal curve, so I can talk about the distance. And this is the so-called Carnot-Coulthard-Derry distance. And so that's basically the part that I need to recall about sub-Riemannian geometry. And the next thing that I need to recall is the mass transport problem, which Jung-Han has already talked about yesterday. So roughly speaking, so suppose I have two mass mu and nu, which are probability measures, so the total mass is 1. Then we are interested in the following problem, which is we want to find a Borel map which pushes mu forward to nu. So phi lower star of mu should be nu, and I want to minimize certain cost. So it's, this cost is fixed, and this is the total cost. So that's the mass transport problem. And of course, in the case, so I'm interested in the case where C is given by distance squared, where this distance is the canonical secondary distance. And in fact, this relates to another joint work of mine with Professor Andrei Agachev, where we consider this cause to be some even more general than canonical secondary distance. Instead, we consider the so-called optimal control cost, and we get some result there, but I'm not going to talk about this part. So what I'm going to talk about is a question which is even more fundamental to this, which is that if I have two volume forms, mu and nu, with total integral 1, the question is, can I even push one mass to the other in such a way that all the particles will be tangent to this distribution, or the path that the particle travel will tangent to this distribution, and I can use that to push mu forward to nu. So that's my that's the kind of a preliminary to this question, whether this question even makes sense. So the question is to find a flow phi sub t, time dependent flow. So phi zero should be identity. Come from? No. Just any volume form. Yes. So now I'm assuming M is compact and orientable. And so phi zero is identity, and phi sub t dot is x sub t composed of phi sub t. So that's a vector field, and I want x sub t to be tangent to the distribution. So x sub t of x to be in tau for all x in the manifold. And of course, I want phi one lower star of mu is equal to nu. So that's really the first question before I even try to look at this in PMO. Right? Now, in fact, if I cover up this condition, this is exactly done by Moser, who actually I made a mistake in the abstract, it should be in the 60s. So this is the Moser lemma. So Moser, in fact, shows that without this condition, this is true. So what he showed is that suppose I have mu sub t, which is a one-parameter family of volume form. So it's a volume forms. Then in fact there exists unique gradient vector field such that phi sub t is the flow of the vector field. And it satisfies all the properties. So of course phi zero is identity, and phi one pushes mu forward to nu. So that's from 60s. Yes, so a bracket generating distribution, yes. So before I go to this sub-Riemannian case, let me give you a nice geometric description, which I don't know whether it is known before or not, of this Moser lemma. So in order to do that, I introduce the following group, D, which is the space of all diffeomorphisms on the manifold M. So it's diffeo on M. So this is an infinite dimensional Lie group. And suppose I fix mu, fix my volume for mu, then I can define d mu, which is the set of all volume form that the set of all diffeomorphisms that preserve this mu. So it's the diffeomorphism such that phi lower star of mu is mu. And I can define the space W, which is the space of all volume form on the manifold. So it's an N form on the manifold such that mu is positive. And in my talk, everything is smooth. And using this, we define the following picture. So first of all, I have to define a map, which goes from the diffeomorphism group to the space W, and which does this. So phi, so I pick a diffeomorphism here, and what this map does is it goes to phi lower star of mu. Okay? So what is good about this? So we have the following picture. So actually, by most of lambda, this map is onto. By Moser. And if you look at the thing which goes to mu, it's exactly the mu. So in fact, you can identify this with the quotients. So really, you can think of this as an infinite dimensional principal bundle. So you have this picture. So you consider this as a diffeomorphism group. Downstairs, you have volume forms. And fix a point down here, then I can look at its fibers. So this is, let's call this map like phi. Then this fiber is phi inverse of the volume form nu. And so, and the space which is, so pick up diffeomorphism which is on this fiber, then the tangent space can be split into a tangent which is a part which is tangent to the fiber, which is the so-called vertical space of the principal bundle. So this is the space that which is tangent to the fiber, and this is given by vector. So it's basically maps which is of this form. So it's x composed with phi, so that x. So this is a vertical space at phi. So it's a space of all maps of this form, which is a vector field composed with this diffeomorphism, such that the divergence of this vector field with respect to this volume form is zero. And so the thing tangent to the fibers are exactly the divergence-free things. And so by Hodge decomposition, I can pick the so-called horizontal space. So whenever you pick a space which is complementary to this vertical space, we call it a horizontal space. And by Hodge decomposition, I can pick it to be the gradient. So this is the horizontal space. FV. And Hodge decomposition basically says that any vector field can be split into divergence 3 part and the gradient part. So the gradient part is exactly the horizontal space. So what Moser lemma says is that upstairs you have mu sub t, which is basically a curve down here. So you have a curve. And it says that there exists unique gradient f. So basically what it says, so this is mu zero. And so you look at a fiber, phi inverse of mu zero. Then what it says really is that there exists a path up here which starts at identity and it is a gradient field. That means it's always, so this will be phi sub t up here. And phi sub t, this phi sub, so I made a mistake upstairs. So this is a curve, so that should be phi lower star of mu zero is mu sub t. I'm sorry. Phi sub t, yes. Thanks. So given a curve mu sub t, I can find a phi sub t, which is a curve in the diffeomorphism group. And the condition that phi sub t lowers off mu zero is mu t just means that this curve maps to this curve down here via this map phi, because this map is phi lowers off. Okay, so given a curve, there exists a curve up here which pushes down. And moreover, in here it says that it's a gradient. That just means it's tangent to this horizontal space. So basically, Moser lemma is equivalent to the fact that given a curve downstairs, you have there exists a unique horizontal curve which projects down to here. This is the so-called path lifting property of principal bundle. And in finite dimension, this is clear. So the Moser lemma is basically proving this fact in infinite dimension. Okay. So. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
You still have a
map
in
yes.
That's also
part of the
yes.
Yes. So now exactly. So I'm special. So that there are many applications of Moser lemma, not just this one. But yes, this is really a particular use of Moser lemma in general. And now, in the case of Carnot-Carothéry case, the situation is pretty much the same, surprisingly. And the only difference in this case is really that instead of this horizontal space, I choose another one. So let me draw another picture. So again, I have a fiber. And here is the horizontal space. So these are gradients. But in the Carnot-Carothéry case, the only difference is that instead of taking gradient, you take some sort of projection of gradient. So basically, you have the same space, a space of same size, so it's a horizontal space again. And this, instead of gradient, you have projection of gradient of f composed of phi. But then I have to tell you, because I'm in a Carnot-Carothéry case, this inner product is only defined on the distribution, so I have to tell you what I mean by first of all gradient, and second, what does it mean projection. So basically I have to, so what I do is I just extend this metric to a Riemannian metric. So I have to extend the fiber metric to Riemannian metric and define the projection P to be the orthogonal projection with respect to this Riemannian metric. So P is going from the tangent bundle to the distribution. P is orthogonal projection. And that's basically the picture. So in Carnot-Carothéry case, we have non-holonomic Moser lemma, which is, so let me state it here instead. Well, a non-holonomic Moser lemma. So again, you have mu sub t volume forms. And so there exists unique projection of gradient f such that phi sub t dot is the vector field, I mean the flow of the vector field, and of course projection of gradient is of course tangent to the distribution already, and of course I have phi sub t lower star of mu is mu sub t. So again, we have this path lifting picture from here up to here, but instead I choose a different horizontal space. Yes? Yes. Yes. Because you can always pick a complementary, you can always pick a Riemannian metric and then restrict it to. Yes. Now, so maybe one thing which may not be. Yes. Oh, in fact, I should point out, this is really not necessary because you can actually define the so-called horizontal gradient to this distribution. But I don't want to get to that, so instead I'll just do this. And this, you have to believe me, this does not depend on the choice of extension. Because what you're doing is, you cook up this projection, but at the same time you're cooking up this Riemannian metric, and the projection and the extension somehow cancel. So another thing which may not be clear to you is why do they have kind of the same dimension, although it doesn't really make sense to say dimension. So at least I should be able to tell you why gradient of f goes to projection of gradient of f. This should be a bijection from the picture, if it is true at all. But this is not surprising if you, well, clearly this is onto. And the fact that this, so if projection of gradient f is zero, it just means, this just means that df is annihilating the distribution. So df of v is equal to zero for all v in the distribution. But that means any horizontal curves will be contained in the left full set of f. You know, f composed of gamma will be constant for all horizontal curve. But of course, this is not allowed because by Chow's theorem, you can actually join any 2 points. So that's a contradiction by Chow's theorem. So it's believable that this is a bijection, at least. So that's it for my talk.